Hello, BMX nerds. Welcome back to another episode of Canode Knows, brought to you by Dig BMX. This week on the show, we got Veesh. You know him. You love him. He's filmed for Colt for years and has recently kind of branched off to just do his own thing, and he's killing it. Yawn Media. Go subscribe to his YouTube channel. He did a behind-the-scenes video for Dakota for his low and high vans part, which is fucking amazing, like taking, you know, hours of footage, condensing it into 10 minutes of a story. That was amazing, so I actually reached out to him and told him how good that was when that dropped. And he just hit me up like a couple of days ago to ask to do this podcast. And he's always welcome here. He wanted to talk about his BMX event that's coming up on June 3rd at Epic Ride Shop. So stay tuned for that. And if you're in California, go attend that. We talk about all the big ideas that he has and how it came to be. And we cover it pretty thoroughly in this. It's fun. I love Veesh and known him forever, like 14 years. So it was good to catch up and chat, so hopefully you guys enjoy it too. That being said, make sure you like and subscribe, share the show with a friend, and go to rawrlife.com and get yourself some green superfoods or some pea plant protein or some algae oil and get your health right, and use promo code CANODE to get 15% off of whatever you get. That's enough for me. Let's get into this episode with Veesh. Oh, and by the way, I'm over bronchitis now. Like, this is the last day of being sick, so I'm stoked. And I'll see you guys next week. Here's Veesh.
I got the notification. We're rolling.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Veesh.
Hello, hello.
What's
so,
up?
So we are recording.
Yep, it's live, all baby.
Right. All right, good.
Oh, long time no see. When did we do the last one?
Well, it was probably like in the beginning of the year, I think, or no, actually maybe in December.
Late last year?
Or something.
Yeah. Dude, it's kind of crazy how time flies. It's already almost June. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, that is nuts. And like for me, it's flying even faster because I tried to launch this event thing with a month. And then I'm like feeling like, oh yeah, you know, I have time. And I just look at a calendar today and go, oh, I have one thing built, and that's only part of the thing that it is. So there's a lot I have to get done, which is part of why I wanted to talk to you on the pod. So
tell me about it. What's been going on with it?
What is it
for people who have never heard of it? And how did it start? And where are you at with it?
Okay. So, well, first off, thanks for having me on here because, it seemed like kind of a short notice thing. I kind of invited myself because I'm,
fuck yeah,
yeah, I'm trying to get some hype up, you know.
I'm open for all self-invitations, too, especially from you. You're always welcome.
Well, thank you. But it feels like it seems like in this day and age, it'd be really easy to get the word out about things, but also it seems like it's harder because you're kind of flooded with a ton of stuff all the time. So I figured, you know, as much as I'm putting stuff on Instagram and people are sharing it and stuff, like you never really get coming on something like this could be a nice chance to explain what's going on and what I'm trying to do.
Hell
and,
yeah.
So for people who have no idea what I'm going on about.
Who are you, dude?
not who am I.
I know, I'm just kidding.
The thing I'm here to kind of talk about and promote, I guess. But I'll run this back so that it like, okay, I'm just going to give you a heads up. If I'm like burping a lot, it's cause I got this weird stomach problem where I have this GERD thing and I have to like fix my things.
Word. So I'll give you a heads up. If I'm coughing a lot, it's cause I got bronchitis and I got hop water to drink. So we're both just expelling things out of our bodies. Let's go.
Well, I'm trying to, but like somebody's gonna go, what's going on with that guy? And it's calmed down quite a bit, but it, at one point, dude, I went to a doctor. I was like,
fuck,
this is rough. So
hey doc, I'm burping a lot. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, and they said, we know what that is right away. And they said, you got stomach acid problems. So that's how this pod started. Now
what did right they tell here. You to take? Apple cider vinegar?
No, they were trying to put me on pills and stuff, and I went over to the internet and tried to figure out better.
Yeah, doctors always want to put you on pills.
To eat and probiotics and
that's what I like to hear. Get on apple cider vinegar, dude. That shit helps.
Which, you know, is I've been eating straight up like raw broccoli and sauerkraut. Like I'm back on intermittent fasting. I'm keeping it like low carb, but not necessarily keto. I'm not really trying to have like all the fats and stuff, like especially from like meat, like and things like that. But I am having avocado and stuff like that, like macadamia nuts. And,
fuck yeah!
You know, just trying keeping the carbs low because my body just doesn't like to react to carbs very well, even though my taste buds love them. This is we have trailed off from what I was supposed to be
we always talk about
like,
food, bro.
One go. for sure. all right, so. All right, I'm gonna rewind a little
What's
bit.
The event Wait, called?
You vape mid pod?
Fuck yeah, I vape mid pod. This is my house, fool. It's my house. You're all coming right. in here. Let's go.
All right, so ready? Here comes a burp. I told you they're gonna happen. All right,
I
so
love it.
when I was like, all right, man, it's time to go freelance. We're gonna just get out there and hustle jobs. At the same time, I started doing the Yon Media thing as like a YouTube channel and like a place where I thought I'd put like my work between BMX stuff and the other jobs I get and like putting like behind the scenes things and all that kind of stuff. And then I started doing a bunch of work, but like I wasn't finding the time or the motivation to do as much with the Yon stuff. Like there's a big gap.
Of course,
like right away I was doing some stuff and then it was like mellowing out. And like you know, I always wanted to do like a jam and I felt like maybe I was drifting away from BMX a little bit, even though I was riding as much as I could and, you know, still being involved, in a way.
But the level of involvement that you had before is like everything is going to feel like you're not involved now, you know?
But, you know, it was good to like test the waters and realize like what the things I enjoy doing, the things I don't enjoy doing. And so at one point I had a lot of work lined up and it kept me like busy. But to the point where I wasn't putting as much into the Yon stuff as I wanted to. So I was literally thinking one night about like building like this ramp. Like I've had this idea to do this like picnic table like contest where like it's all these different like picnic tables that like some are like all warped and it kind of looks like a Alice in Wonderland, like whoa. But like
that's a dope
idea.
Like
you references something that we the reference is something we could ride, but like one of them actually is like warped like a kicker and they but I always thought that the table was a pretty cool like obstacle.
Yep.
As far as like what it could be, but it just doesn't ride right because like they're too close to each other or like, you know, it's weird, but it's like, it's a stack ledge setup. So I always just was like, I wonder what you could do with this. And then I just got on the iPad, started drawing out like different things you could do with it. And then that led to me thinking about like, oh, it'd be sick to make this and have an event. And then it just kind of stopped because I went like, what am I going to do? Like, how are you going to do an event? And then the idea wouldn't leave my head. Like, it was just like, okay, what do I do with it? Then it turned into this idea of like, how do I take it and turn it into like three separate ledges that kind of look like a picnic table. But then when you move them, you could like grind to grind to grind and they could like change around and stuff. And so I kept thinking about that. And then I started thinking like, maybe I could just do a jam. And then like, I thought of this thing, like, I'll just call it something like super like generic. And I was like, oh, I'll just call it the BMX. I like wrote that in the iPad and I started like doodling with the thing.
You cut out. What is it called?
And then at some point I just like, I bet if kind of generic name. Am I still cutting out?
There you are. You're back. All right. What's it called?
I'm back.
Yeah.
You're good. my momentum is gone.
Tell me what it's called.
All right. The name of it is called the BMX event.
Okay.
Did I get that? Did it get in there this time?
It's in there. All right, let's go.
So I just wanted a very generic name.
Yep.
Because at the time I thought like, I don't know what I thought to be honest, but anyways, I was like, I'll just do this like this. I don't know. Doodling on an iPad and like taking thoughts and just getting them out into like seeing it into something. And like, so then all of a sudden I was like, what could I I could just do this through Yawn, and instead of thinking like, well, let's go make videos, I'll do it like a practical thing and make videos of what I'm doing. Cause I was having trouble like thinking of what will I go make a video of, but instead of put the objective of trying to put the jam on, now I'm like almost forcing myself to make videos. And I felt like if I could get into the storytelling of like, let's start with the idea and walk it through to the end, and then there's this big jam at the end that everyone's at and having fun at, that would help motivate me to make videos and actually like do something for the community. And I'm kind of doing something for myself in the fact that I'm getting into you know, working on the YouTube stuff more.
Fuck yeah. And I've loved every video you've posted.
So that's kind of, that's kind of, oh, thank you. And I feel like I'm like figuring them out each time to make them better and better. And like, tomorrow we're going to get coping with, me and Max are going to go to this metal yard. And so that's like another episode of the series coming through. And, the other part that I thought was kind of interesting is there's, you know, that big challenge of like, well, it would take money to do it. Like, yeah, we could bring out some things that we already have, some ledges and rails. But if I wanted to make these exclusive, like new ramps that are like kind of the reason like that I wanted to do it is because I can't get the ideas of building these ramps out of my head.
Yeah.
Then let's see if I can't crowdfund it. And so then I went with that approach, and that has been pretty awesome because you see people like, who aren't even in the state, who aren't even going to be at the event, sending money just to see it happen. And my hope is that when I build these ramps, and part of their design is that they fit, like I have a 15 passenger van and I'm going to like take everything out of it and it's just going to be emptied. Everything is designed to flatten down and fit into that van. And so when I'm done with the Epic Jam, I can go out to King's Ride Shop or I can go to another bike shop and do another jam. And then I could get like other bike companies involved. And that's why like the big idea of it, is that it can go around to other places.
That's so dope.
So the Epic one on June 3rd is like the testing ground for it to work. And it feels like it's going to happen. Like, not that the event's not going to happen, but like the whole idea is going to be successful. And I think I can then take it to other places. So, but yeah, I don't know if you watch the video with me and Dak building the ledge, mm-hmm. It like goes from a flat ledge to an up ledge. Well, yeah. That's like the main part of the picnic table. We still have to build the two side benches that go with it. But the way that could like change up each time I go to a different event or a different bike shop, I can change like how it is, or just like at least gives you options to do stuff differently at each jam. And with the other ramps that I'm trying to make, they should also kind of like be able to be configured different. Like I'm going to build these long, like 10-foot long ledges that have wedges on one side, and they're like going to be pretty close together. So you could like grind to hop over grind, you know, like down like a narrow channel.
Yeah.
And then you could like hop into the bank, or maybe you can come out of it. Like, I think that like the way that you could ride it is like pretty diverse and fun, and like I had a pretty, hopefully pretty like easy to ride, you know what I'm saying? Like something anyone could have a good time on, hopefully. So
love that.
So
yeah, where are you
like,
at now with it? What's the current status?
Well, the current status is that we built like the hardest thing to build, like building the morphing ledge with Dak, like him coming through and like figuring that out with me, and then his like craftsmanship touch on making sure, because that I wanted it to work with no tools, and it works with no tools. You can lift off the top part,
yeah,
turn
dude.
The boxes
it's
around
so
and
sick.
Smash them back down,
it's so
and
sick.
And it works. The rest of them are pretty straightforward. I'm probably going to build them myself mostly. Max is helping me when it comes to like some of the metal stuff, because he's going to grind some stuff down and maybe like reconfigure some things. So the more like crowdfunding stuff that comes in, the better I can make the event. If I got, you know, I'm trying to get like at least three things that are fresh for the event, and I have, you know, we have Sabroso rails, and there's like a Colt ledge from Colt to Ween that we still have, and then there's like a quarter pipe from when there was the 1030D premiere. I don't know if you are familiar with that or not, but mm-hmm. You know, people have ramps around, they're going to help bring to the thing, but like I'm trying to get this one, like this particular setup that would be in my van that would be going around. And then I want to make this kicker setup that almost like folds down flat, and I'm not even going to try and explain it because
it's you need like, some it's visual like, representation you, to explain. Yeah,
exactly. So that's that's why I built these cardboard models. Like mm-hmm. if you watch
I
in
know.
The like
what I
call
about to
pitch,
mention those
it's the so pitch sick. Video. It's like I couldn't figure out on the iPad when I was drawing it how I'm like, okay, I get that it sits like this, and I get that it sits like this, but does it really? And so like I just was like, let me just try. And that's why, like, once I made that model, it was like, okay, how do I make this happen? And then that's where the crowdfunding thing came in. And that's where, like, you know, and so to be honest, what's cool about it is like, just by calling it the BMX event and doing the crowdfunding, it is supported by BMX. Like BMXers have bought shirts or donated money.
Yep.
And on top of that, like that got me to a pretty far place as far as being able to finance like the wood for that main bench thing, but to kind of bring the other ones to life, I didn't really think that the crowdfunding would go that far. And to be honest, it hasn't. And I definitely appreciate anybody who has like donated or bought anything, because that is what's getting this whole thing going. But what's cool is the day that I dropped the thing, a couple companies reached out to me and they're like, hey, we want to support it too. And I was kind of like, well, let's see what the crowdfunding does, and then we'll see what like I kind of need to like fill in the gap in a way, or like because I didn't know what was going on. And so I haven't put it out there yet, but now that we're doing this, we have Colt supporting the event, we have Fiend supporting the event, and we have OSS supporting the event. And so they're the official like sponsors for this round of the BMX event. And it's just like I said, they're putting in some money to help kind of just get the last of the finances in order. And any more stuff that I get, like donations or sales wise, I'm still trying to just put towards the event, because I'm finding out things like paint is very expensive, but I'd like to paint them and have them look nice. And like if right. I get the money for another obstacle, I'm just going to build another obstacle. So
how did you figure out how much this shit is going to cost? Like well, you built the hardest one to build already, right? But what is the total cost of all this shit that you're thinking?
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. There is like about $500 into the like first obstacle, and then that's not really including the coping, which is kind
or
of
the paint
turning out to be another like 500 or so. And so then there's I don't know, it's gonna be
shit adds
like
up.
A 1500 to the 2000 ish kind of deal, but at the same time people have donated some wood, which is like which is really cool. And I feel like when it comes down to it, I'm going to have to just like pay for some stuff, which is fine. I've already paid for some. I don't know if you saw my DoorDashing video. I mean, that was only $100 raised, but at the same time, I put that $100 I normally would put to my bills to that. And then I spent a little bit more on some other things, but like, if it's like, it's not going to be just the table. And obviously these sponsors are kind of like making that a lot easier on me. Like that's a burden, and it is the BMX event, and they're part of BMX and they're being represented. And I like was really happy that like they approached me about doing this stuff. I didn't have to go reach out. And I felt like just having like those three sponsors that I kind of look at it as like the BMX event is made possible by you guys, the BMX riders, and supported by, and then Colt, Fiend, OSS, right? And again, if I go do something else, I would love to switch it up. And if another brand would like to be involved, we could repaint the ramps, do something different, get different crews of people, and have it switch up so that it's more. But like, I don't know, this is just how it's playing out. And it was kind of the idea in my head, and it kind of is rolling the way I was kind of hoping it would roll. So
the fact that you and Dick Dak built that one that you just played with models on your desk filming, and then it's already like come to life. That's so dope. It's rad.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, I got to build the benches for it, but I mean, those are just rectangles, right? Like I just build some rectangles and we put some coping on them and that should work out fine. And then the building the wedges, which is crazy. One of the things I got donated was plywood, but only a couple pieces of plywood. And I was looking at them. And so I wanted to make these 10-foot long ledge ramps, which is kind of an odd length. Yeah. Normally everything's 8-foot. And I was looking at the plywood that got dropped off and I was like, is this 10-foot? And I have 2 pieces of 10-foot plywood, which will literally be perfect for the slant pieces. And then I went to my dad's house for Mother's Day. I was hanging out with the family and I'm looking at him like, why is there a 20-foot long 2x6 in your backyard? Like, I was like, what is that for? Can I take that? And so I'm going to go next week, cut that in half. And that's like the top portion. So the whole piece will at least be solid and we don't have any gaps or anything. And I don't have to go buy a 10-foot long 2x6.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is kind of working out. And literally the van is about 14 feet deep. So I have it's like 12 feet deep. I have 2 feet left over when I put that in there. But the wedges, like when I build them, if you put them like opposite of each other, they just make a square.
Yeah.
And so like that would just slide in this way. The other thing comes apart and you can just like put the thing on the bottom, stack up those boxes, and these other couple ramps and like rails and stuff that I'll have with me should all just like fit. It's going to max out the van, but like if I film a video of me pulling everything out, it's going to be like one thing, another thing, another thing, another thing. It's going to be pretty cool. I think
like a Mary Poppins van.
Exactly. Instead of a bag full of sugar or whatever. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, dude. And it's on June 3rd at Epic BMX. Yeah.
Yes. And,
you got some people out here in Arizona. They're hitting me up like, are you going to the Epic BMX gym on June 3rd? Like people in Arizona are going to travel out for it. Yeah. The hype is real, dude. I think you're a lot of people are stoked on it, but they don't message you that they're stoked.
It feels like I definitely have had a lot of like good response and, but that's, locally. So I had no idea people in other states are even like considering coming out, which just makes me like want to make sure that everything rides good and it is solid. And that people are having a good time are almost like unthought of in the like event style things, like getting local like food vendors, like food truck people to show up and stuff so that like if somebody's hungry, they can eat something. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, what do I really have to do? And for myself, like, I believe this could be news to Grant C, but the way what Phil was telling me is Grant C was going to help film the event. So he might, if he listens to this, he might be finding out that. But like that helps because I might just be on the mic kind of like hosting and like making sure like everyone's having a good time and like doing best tricks. And like, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out all that stuff to hopefully by the end of next week, all the ramps are done, everything's good. And I have 1 week to kind of put all the pieces together. And then I do want to try and film a session so people can see the ramps being ridden. So they're like, all right, yeah, we're coming
out.
That
would
be
cool.
It's gonna
be
sick. That's what I'm hoping for. So I don't know. But to be honest, like I'm excited for the feedback I have gotten. It does feel like BMX riders are really psyched. It's gotten me super motivated. I've not been like this, like driven in a while, like be like, all right, we got to get on this. We got to get it like going. And I can't let anybody down really, and then again, I have to thank the sponsors that chipped in too, because it's really cool not only to have some financial help, but to just know that they wanted to be a part of it and back it. And then, their crews will come out and like, I don't know. It feels good and it feels supportive. And that's why I think the BMX event is a kind of a funny, dumb name, but like I'm liking how it's like shaping up. Like,
fuck yeah.
It feels pretty cool to me. So,
if somebody's listening and they want to pitch in, where do they go?
Yawn-media.com has anything that if you like bought a shirt or anything. All the money goes to help get the ramps done. And then I'm pretty sure the links, like the Cash App, PayPal and Venmo are all, they think they're on there. I don't exactly know, but they are in the links of the YouTube videos. So if you go to the YouTube channel, and you click in the descriptions, they'll be there. I might not have put those links.
Dude, I love that you have the BMX event t-shirts. That's fire.
Yeah. So anything you buy that, like, at the moment I'm doing other jobs and other video work that is, and DoorDashing, that is just like helping me kind of get by. So for me, it was like, yeah, people could donate if they wanted to donate, but if somebody did want to buy something, I felt like it'd be cool to make a shirt that was like, okay, I bought this shirt to contribute. But also, if you bought like this shirt, or you bought just the like regular circle shirt or hoodie, or even something simple, there's a clock on there if you wanted a clock.
I like that. Yeah.
You can just, whatever it is, like,
there's a clock on there if you wanted a clock.
It's, yeah, there's some random
I might buy
stuff,
the clock, dude.
But I could, there we go. I could see it sitting
here, right here.
I could see it sitting right back there.
Yes, sir.
But four exactly. So you could get something and your money will go towards the event. Or if you just want to donate, and you know, I've seen $5 come through, I've seen $25 come through, I've seen $100 come through.
Damn, who's the big baller chipping in $100? That's awesome. Let's go.
Well, I suck at remembering names, and this would be the perfect time to shout it out. But it was literally the first. This is what made me go like up and down. It was the first donation I got was $100, and I went, "Oh, nice,
nice. It's gonna work."
And then it went real quiet, and then I went, "Okay, well, we got $100," and then it all started rolling in. But
hell yeah,
dude, that's what I'm saying, is like getting the info out there. But I guess I could have just called you on the phone and been like, "Hey, are people in Arizona coming out?" And then I would have maybe thought that I don't need to do all this podcast stuff. But
yeah, I think a whole little squad is gonna mob out there. I would if I could, but I'll be working. I just bought the clock, by the way. You guys should all go online and buy a shirt or a clock. Oh. Clock is dope. Dude, how are you doing the shirt? I want to make shirts. And I've been asking people, like, are you doing, like, per order?
Well, this dropshipping is, or whatever? This is a good time to talk about this. So right now we are on dropshipping. It's a print-to-order service because I don't have the money to put in the overhead.
Yeah,
to
neither do I. I don't want to do that.
Shirts and stuff like that. So sick. you can get yourself set up on Printify if you wanted to, and there's plenty of other options
Printify
out there. But yeah, my girlfriend is the one who has really helped on the end that I don't know about. I make the videos, I'll help build the ramps, I'll organize the thing, and she's connecting all the dots of getting artwork done, getting all these like links set up, getting all this stuff to like work. She made the website. She like,
yeah,
kind of does all this stuff. And as she's working her regular job, she just goes, okay. And then like spends her evening helping me. And I'm like, what? This is too good. So
shout out Deandra.
Her name's Dayan.
Dayana. Dayan. I got the first part right.
You did. Yes, it's own unique name, and plenty of people struggle with
Deandra.
It,
but... Dayana, my bad.
But anyways, yes, she's been a huge help. Now, here we go with the next part. You know Dylan Ambrose? Good old Dylan Ambrose.
Yeah.
So he's working in the press LBC, running up, doing shirts. Well, this event is the perfect time to kind of like actually dive into like, all right, I know some people probably want to buy some shirts on hand, but I don't have anything for the Printify thing. So I hit him up. He's working on a shirt. I'm actually working on a video of me making the shirt, because the way I'm making the shirt is like the design for it. It just says Yawn on the back, but it's made out of, you know, those things that are like, they're like a rectangle and they're full of pins and you push your hand into them. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I cut out cardboard letters and then I push the cardboard letters into the thing. And then I took pictures of that. And then now I'm putting that into the computer and processing it up. And I'm just going to turn it black and white and it'll be the back. So it'll have this like weird textured look to it. But
that's
instead
sick.
Of like doing any kind of actual graphic design, I'm doing like practical. I'm very arts and craftsy.
I like
doing that kind
of
stuff.
You're making the shit with your hands.
So yeah, I'm not super good with computers, even though I do a lot of editing. That's about it. I don't know much else when it comes to that stuff. I'm not great with typography or anything like that. So I feel like if I just make something like this and then like get that put in on a shirt, and then if I put the video behind it too, people might think that's kind of interesting and then be like, oh, this is the thing you made, and I'll buy the shirt. And but yeah, I mean, and all the sales at the all the sales at the event, I mean, any shirt you buy, I mean, it kind of, I'm hoping to recoup the cost on that at least. And if not, make a little, because the I feel like anything I make in that regard, I can frees me up to then do more yarn stuff. Like if because I have all types of things. You see, do you see Dax? Yeah, I think you might even text me about it. Dax
Behind the
behind the scenes
scenes. Yeah,
video
fuck yeah, I saw it.
for his Vans part.
That's on my list. I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, I'm trying to do more of that. I'm trying to do more of those kinds of things. So the more yarn starts to run and function in a way that like can offset some expenses and things like that, the sooner I can like put more focus into it and start creating more like documentary style or like just different kinds of content for BMX related stuff, hopefully, you know.
Like, how involved is that behind the scenes video? It seems like it
Oh
was
my God.
a
It was
year of behind the scenes shit, like at least. Tell me about that.
at the tail end, about a month left of filming, I think, Mapstone and Vans and Dakota were like, yeah, you should get in on like just kind of getting out on these last sessions with us and start filming these sessions. We're about to wrap the video up. And at the same time, I was making that song for the end of his video, the second song that's in Dax
Sick.
part. So I was like pretty heavily involved in like in that tail end of like just kind of focusing on Dax work. Again, another reason that I'm like not able to do as much stuff on Yon, but it's fine. Like it doing BMX work is doing BMX work, right? Like making a song and doing that stuff. I just need to get better. I mean, I did do a behind the scenes thing of that making that song, but I kind of like just randomly made it and I didn't do it as like in depth as I wanted to do it. But anyways, I'm getting off on a different
You
thing.
got high
But
standards for everything you do, man. It's awesome.
well, I want it to be effective. Like if I want it to be like motivating for somebody to watch it or like they feel like some type of way. I mean, they could even hate it, I guess, but I just don't really want them to be bored. Like I don't want people to just be like, eh, what was that? Whatever. And so with the DAC project, like going into it, I was just like, how can I do behind the scenes and tell a story? I mean, first off, like I just respect DAC so much for like his work ethic and like what he does for putting into videos. And I was like, I really have to put like, why does DAC do this? Like the amount of spot searching he does, the amount of just like dedication and the amount of times he's even turned down something that you've been like, oh, that would be a cool clip. He'd be like, eh, just because to his standard, it's got to be to a certain like level, you know? And so yeah, he just lives that stuff, and I wanted to do my best to do that. And so I just filmed the process, and at one point while we were filming it, I was like, hey, let me just film you while we're driving. Like I'll mic you up and we'll just get some talking points, right?
Loved it. The show is so
And
cool.
so we did that, and that's pretty much what I had. And then, you know, I'm out here, you know, when I was doing cold stuff all the time, it was like film the trick, film the trick, film the trick, which is great. That was the job, that's what I wanted to do. And at one point I was like, man, I'm kind of over this. And so then I was like, I want to film behind the scenes. And then I realized filming behind the scenes is so hard because I'm watching Calvin and he's like doing his thing. Yet I have to film constantly. I film all day long because you don't know what's going to happen. And you're filming every try. And then after it, you don't get to stop the button, like, and then wait for him to go back up the stairs. He might trip up the stairs and you'd be like, oh, that's funny. I need that clip. But like, you have to film everything. And I was like, this is actually harder. Like, but at the same time, when I get to like go through the footage and start laying it out and like the storytelling process, I'm like, all right, I do really like this. Like, so that was a good example of me getting into more of that storytelling versus just like the trick, which I felt like when I used to edit BMX videos like that, I was kind of trying to do storytelling if I could, like in some way. And you know, that's maybe me overthinking it when I'm editing and nobody else is picking up on it. They just see that was a clip, that was a clip, oh, that was a clip. But I see like it goes like it's right. saying something, yeah. but you know, no, maybe it's not really like that. But anyways, yeah. back to Dex like thing video. It started out as an hour long.
Damn.
Not like this is the video, it's an hour long, but like I could just run the more timeline. About I could run more about this part, or I could run more about this part. And so it took forever to cut it down to like what makes sense. And then how am I gonna order it up in all these different days and like what are the things? And like so then the next part is I made like a rough cut with no music and it kind of looked like the video you see, but it was a little bit longer and it was a little bit different. And I was like, you know what? I need Dak to give me the pieces I don't have in the voiceover, but I'm just going to put it on the iPad and have him watch it. And instead of like sitting him there, I'm just going to like let him react to it because he hasn't even like seen it like
messed up
in that way. So I just filmed him reacting to it and stuff like where he's laughing and he's like, cause he fell off the rail and he's all mingling. He's just like reacting to it like genuinely. And then like, I went back and was like, okay, well tell me, like, talk to me a little bit more about this and talk to me a little bit more about that. And then he started going into those places. And then it turned, the next part was going into making the music and like trying to figure out how it was going to like bring it up and down and all this stuff. And that to me was where I started like kind of losing my mind because
really,
well, I'm making the songs and it's like a different job because now I'm worried about the quality of the song. Does it sound corny? And in some places I'm just like holding notes down on a keyboard and it's all, and I'm like thinking, like I start thinking people are going to watch this and going, what is he doing? What? It's not that dramatic. Like thinking like I'm trying to like make a movie when I should just be like, it could be raw. Like a lot of people just make them raw, which is fine. Cause that's how it is. But I was like, I want to enhance it a little bit. And then it's like when he's crashing, I'm playing like on the drums. I'm like, and I'm like, I might be doing too much. And then when it came out and I got the feedback that like it went so well with it, I went, okay, good. Okay. But the problem is I held it to myself for too long before letting other people see it that I started like taking it apart.
Overanalyzing it. Yeah.
Yes. And then
I know exactly how that feels. Yeah. Dude.
And then the piece that was like the part that really made it work was when I decided, oh, let me just put these graphics in between, because when they didn't have the graphics, I felt like I was kind of confused. And then it either like made some humor or it just moved us to the next thing. And then I was able to shorten everything down a little bit more.
Smart.
And it made it so you're just moving through and, you know, and the goal for me, even with Yawn stuff, is I would love to see somebody who loves BMX to enjoy it and somebody who is just getting into it or not that familiar with it can at least follow along and kind of understand it, right?
Fuck yeah. You could show that to my mom and she'd be like, this is awesome. You know, like it's storytelling. And the way you put it together was so good. I texted you. I was like, this is incredible. Like it's top notch. You can tell how much effort you put into it.
Thank you. Because it felt like even this is one of the things that happened the day I sent it to Mapstone and Dak to watch it is no one got back to me right away.
Oh, fuck. And that's torture.
And that hurt my, I was
sitting
like,
there like waiting. Come on.
I was like, I'm done. Like, not even like, dude, that's cool. I'll hit you up later about it. Like, like it was just silence.
Ghost.
and that is fine when you realize that they love it and they are busy, which I know they're busy. That's why I kept telling myself, no, they're just doing stuff. They're doing stuff. Like, stop. Like, yeah. No,
but your brain's going, they fucking hate it, dude. They hate it. I tried too hard.
In my mind, they're talking about what they're going to need to tell me to fix it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, you need to take out that stupid dramatic song you made and cut this out. The other thing that made the video kind of cool was that Calvin sent me raw timelines. So I got to like introduce the video as something that like you referenced this whole video, and then it moved into like what it took to make the video. Yeah. It didn't just start out with him like falling or something. It started out with clips from the video, kind of recut and repurposed into a different like way. So you like, I would think you would even want to go watch the video just from the beginning of it. And then the other part that I was concerned about being like too much was putting in two clips he didn't make. But to me, that mattered a lot, because like that he had to work that hard for the clips he did make too. Yeah. That like there's work you don't know goes into it, or
the, like those, the rail to gap that like, yes, he didn't, he flipped that over. Got away. Yeah, dude. Yeah. He said he blacked out. Like he didn't realize that he actually got off the bike. Like it was crazy.
That was weird, because he rolls, he gets up and he walks away. And in my head, I'm like editing already. I'm like, oh, there he's okay. Yeah. That's painful, but he's going to go get it. And then it was another defeat, and he had not filmed his ender. And I was just like in my head, I can't tell him what to do, but it's like, bro, we should go film your ender tomorrow and get that out of the way. And then let's go get the rest of the stuff, because you know, I know you got that. Like, I know, cause it was already, he was showing me it was figured out, yeah, but he was like putting it off a little bit, and which is what he has to go through. Right.
He has you to influenced him telekinetically then. Cause he came to that conclusion himself, didn't he? Like he moved on from the rail, right?
He moved on to the from the rail, knowing, yeah, he wanted to get other stuff. But I don't think at that moment he decided that he was going to go get the ender.
Okay, word, yeah.
I think he wanted to go get something else.
Yeah.
Like maybe the thing into the ditch. But it all worked out where I think when we talked, it was like, hey, let's just go get the ender, and Book, everything, yeah, else will be cherry on top. So,
dude, what a treat. So many people would be like, would pay money to just be a fly on the wall while Dakota's filming clips, you know? Like that's top of the game. That's getting to watch Michael Jordan shoot free throws, you know? That's fucking awesome. Well, you mentioned that it took you forever to take it from 60 minutes down to 10 minutes. How long is forever? Like, how long did it take? Editing this shit probably took you a long time. How long did it take?
Well, I feel like it came out in the beginning of April or something, right? Like,
I don't know. Let's see. When did she come out?
I can't remember, but I know his video came out in the beginning of March. I think on March 7th, his video came out, and we had already, the video was already done. So I was already in the editing process in the end of February.
It came out 2 weeks ago. What? Yeah. May 1st, May, beginning of May, this video.
Okay.
More important, okay, than anything else. You guys should go watch if you haven't. More, yeah, important than anything,
wow,
else.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Dang, I thought it was longer than that.
May 1st. Time flies, but it also doesn't, I guess.
It does. May 1st it came out?
Yeah.
Well, so that came out. That came out May 1st?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm looking, okay, at the date right now.
Because I announced the BMX event thing on the 3rd. Because then I had exactly a month to do it.
So I'm sure you had the video done before it came out on our BMX's, yeah, YouTube.
Yeah, but like not that long beforehand. Because I remember when we finished it, I got in touch with Fudger, and I think we're going to put it up on a Friday, and we switched it to a Monday. And now I probably talked to him on a Wednesday about it. So yeah, it was very pretty quick in that regards. Yeah. So that's wild. Dude, time does fly. Cause then we dropped what you were calling the backyard video. I was like, what are you talking about? Backyard video. I was like, the backyard jams from back in the day, what, are you just reminiscing? I was like, what are you talking about?
Nope, the one with Mr. Watts and Pat Casey's backyard that you made, that is fucking insane, dude. We'll talk about that after we finish.
We can talk about that in a second. That one, I feel like that one has less to do with me and a lot to do with Watts and a lot to do with Pat and a lot to do with all the homies that were there.
Fuck yeah. I just want to know what it was like to be there. But how long, yeah, did it take to edit this Dakota video?
Well, I guess I started in February, or we'll say at the beginning of March. And then I pretty much all the way through April. It wasn't done when I went to Swamp Fest, and I filmed like a documentary thing for Swamp Fest that isn't out, but that's intentional. I talked to Trey about it, and we have a particular date to put it out.
Nice.
To kind of use as hype for next year. Perfect. So instead of...
And gives you time to
putting
edit.
Out. Yeah. And I, you know, Dak's video was a testing ground for me to make like a documentary, like kind of thing. And so now I'm going to take what I have. Cause I spent like, I spent 10 days in Florida to shoot that because they were pouring cement.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be there for them pouring cement because that was such a big moment. And what I saw now, I guess we'll pretty much talk about the Swamp Fest thing now. So
kind of
going into the documentary style stuff is that how far Swamp Fest has come. And it's another thing, in my opinion, this is what I talked to Trey about, that is brought to you by BMX. Like, it's starting to morph into like YouTubers coming and like other people just coming to watch. And, you know, there's skateboarding involved and there's like, there was a loop water slide and like other things happening.
Yeah.
But like the majority of it is BMX. It's brought to you by BMX. And that's going to be at the forefront of it. And that's what we're trying to deliver in this like documentary. And it's not going to necessarily be some big like hour long or half hour long even thing, but catching the building process. And then as I lay it out and like kind of look at what I can do to kind of shape it from the event it first was to all the challenges he's done to like how it's coming about now and where it's going. That's kind of like the angle I'm trying to go with it. So I've looked at a lot of the footage. I haven't like fully lined it up, but pretty much after the BMX event, it's like time to start doing and really getting into getting the Swamp Fest video going.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited because I think there's a really cool story to tell. There's all these people who help like, just like make it happen. And I think for instance, when I look through like one of the first days, like I pull up a clip and I look at it and Trey's sitting on the ground with duct tape, taping a hose together so that he can make a hose longer so it could fill up one of the pits with water. And he's got these like sunglasses on and he looks up at the camera and he kind of looks miserable. And like, he's just been working for so long. And yeah. I was like, yeah, this could like even be like the opening clip because I filmed it on one of the little dad cams. So it's all grimy and it's just like, it's just like whatever it takes to get it done. Like,
yes, I love
the way he works and everything about it is just like super cool. So
it's so crazy thinking about how far Swamp Fest has come from just like the first year of just a shit show to like, it's an actual thing. Like Blood Wizard. I just learned Nick Sebesti just told me Blood Wizard made a Swamp Fest deck. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know nuts, all about dude. It. Yeah, that's fucking rad.
Yeah, no, but I mean, Chris Gregson, man, like, that's a huge, like, shout out to that guy because...
Twisto Fur, right?
You know, it's so funny. A long time ago, when I saw what he was doing with the skate filming, I was like, dude, he would be sick if he was filming, like, Corey or people like Trey or people who ride these setups the way that he's filming the skateboarding. And... I don't even really know exactly, but I believe through Corey, some other things. I don't know. Oh no. And maybe it is through Trey and him coming and meeting, and Trey talks about it, but like he's like fully in it to a certain extent. Like he's about filming this stuff. He's learning as much as he can about like bike riding. He supports it, but he's like one of the core skate filmers doing it for Thrasher. Like, he shouldn't be so cool,
so rad,
but he is. And that's super rad to me. And we've got to work together and he's been nothing but nice to me and like showing mad respect. And so like,
what have you guys worked together on?
Crazy. So when Trey was getting back on Colt, Trey worked with,
him
with, Gregson on, his welcome video because, I was doing other stuff and it was just kind of natural because they had already worked together on the van stuff, and I think they were still working on this van's part, so it just kind of made sense. Like, well, if I don't really have the time, and Gregson's kind of getting Trey to some cool things to ride. Like, if you watch this welcome video, I mean, he's in all these skaters' backyards riding like some of the craziest setups and things that are I couldn't do. But like, when they were in California a bit, I would link up with them and film some second angles. And then a couple of days, I think I just went out with Trey and filmed while Gregson had some other stuff to do. And so I got all that footage from Gregson and cut it up and made the video and like, so
killed it.
And then from then, like, yeah, we hung out then, and then like at Swamp Fest we hung out and like I don't know, like, we don't like text and chat with each other, but if I needed something, I can hit him up and he'd be like, yeah, it was good. So
hell yeah. Dude, I'm so jealous of being able to film or being able to skate like that and film like that. It's so fucking dope. Like, that's always been the dream. One time I was on a trip with Sabrosa and we were in somewhere in the Pacific Northwest riding a skate park, and there was a skater there, and I said, "Here, bro," because he was dropping in and pushing around, and I handed camera to him, and I said, "Drop in," and just pointed at the guys, and he did, and I spliced it all together pretty well, and I got some. Some people were like, "Damn, dude, I didn't know you could skate like that." I was like, "Yeah, no big deal." Yeah, I get balls like that sometimes. Don't worry about it.
There's a Colt did a Florida trip with Rickaney, Dak, and Hawk not too long ago, and that video actually was one that I really enjoyed doing. Not that I don't enjoy other ones, but like it was just fun, pretty relaxed and whatever. And Dak would grab the camera from me. He's like, "I got this." And he would skate in and film Sean do some stuff.
Fuck yeah.
So hopefully nobody thinks that that's me. I think I even tried to film Dak dropping in so people would see that it's not me, like nice. Doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, anytime that stuff comes around, Preston Oker also really good at doing that kind
Can
of
stuff.
Can
you skate like that?
I don't know how much he's he skates good, and he's been filming a lot more, so I think he's gonna kind of like step up his game with the follow lines and the bowls and stuff like that. So yeah,
this Florida video you're talking about is from like a year
yeah
ago, right?
No, I wish I could be doing that too.
It's so sick.
Yeah, it's yeah, I can say it's
oh
just,
yeah, I see Dakota in there on
it's the
skateboard.
One where,
that's
like,
awesome. Hawk's
jumping into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
how rad.
So
picture Dak saying, "I got this," and he drops
fun
it.
Fun trip. That was really good.
Fuck yeah. The other thing, let's talk about the backyard ramps video. What was it like?
It pretty much says, what was it like? Just
yeah,
in general.
I mean,
okay. I can't so here, remember, I'll explain to you, because there's a decent story to that too. So old Watsy goes, I'm coming out to Cali. I'm gonna help Pat, and then. Randomly, I was thinking, if he's building ramps, I wonder this time who's making the video. Like every time Pat has had an addition, it's had like a video. And since they didn't do like a big whole thing, there wasn't, I guess, maybe quite the need for it in a way. And Jason's like, "Well, I'll get you to come out. I'll pay you to film it. And then my contribution is like, just to edit it with no, like, I didn't charge him like to edit it." So it is like a Yon Production Universal Ramps, like kind of collab thing.
Nice.
And we were thinking of maybe like getting some sponsors or something involved. And then once we were like in the middle of filming it, we're like, you know what? The best bet is that we just put on RBMX, because that's where, you know, a lot of people are going to be probably watching it and stuff. So, mm-hmm. That's why I ended up over there. Just, seemed like instead of just putting on like my YouTube channel, it's not ready yet. I'm like, you know, still gaining some momentum, but eventually I'll get my stuff going there. Anyways, we'll get back into the details of the video. So he's like, "Yeah, just come out." And it's funny, my girlfriend like was wanting to get like a camper recently, and my parents were selling one, so I was like, "Why don't we just buy that one?" So we get that, and Jason's like, "Yeah, I got my rig. I'm just staying at Pat's house." And I was like, "I'll just stay at Pat's house." So I took the camper out there, posted it up right behind his, and just slept in there, bought food on the way in, had a little fridge. I like would go make my own lunch in the middle of the day. So I spent 4 days at Pat's house. I wasn't there for the build stuff. They all film stuff on like their phones and GoPros and stuff, and so I just pulled that footage to kind of lay the tone for the intro stuff. But yeah, really what Jason's thing was like wanting to do the add-ons. Like I think he had more ideas, but we had like limited like time, you know. We just they would build those things like the sub box or that other piece, and that was kind of like what he thought. Not only did he open the park up or the yard up to like have a better flow to it, but now he's going to like add those pieces in, and that's kind of like the universal ramps part of it, you know? And so, and whatever him and Pat could get, they could get, and then people would just show up every day and they'd be like, "Oh, I'll ride this." And like, W's like, "I'll double whip in." And like, I was like, I was like jokingly, like standing at the bottom waiting for like him to feel out doing the double whip in. And like Annie Buckearth was riding this way. I was like, "Foo-foo-noo it," and he's like, "Oh, foo-foo-noo it." I was like, "Oh," so and then he foo-foo-noo. I was like, "What? This is kind of crazy."
Guys are like playing a video game, dude. It's so crazy.
Yeah, And then just what Pat and like Jason were doing, and like you kind of just follow Jason's lead. Jason goes, "All right, we're doing this," and like I could see even Pat go, "Okay," and we're gonna make this big structure over top of the transfer thing. And can I cab whip into it? Can I three whip into it? Like they're just sessioning, going for it. And so
turns out, really yes, cool. They can do those tricks into it. Yeah. Dude. The bunny hop three whip into that massive fucking step down is so crazy.
That was a scary one. And it's one of those things with where the footage doesn't do things justice, because like I'm watching it going, how can I make this look any more big? Like,
yeah,
because I was standing on the edge of it, like going like, this is terrifying. Like, man, yeah. I hope he doesn't fall. Like, I know he's got it, but like the way it looks is like it drops over like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but he
it's
did.
It's terrifying just standing there, let alone jumping off of it.
Yeah.
You said Universal Ramps a couple times. Is that like a company? So, is that Jason's company?
That's Jason's company. And most of the stuff that he's doing is in Australia. Like, if you linked up with him or had him on here, he could go on and on about all the things he's done over there. And he spends a lot of time. It's almost like a 6 months on ramp building, 6 months off riding. Like,
that's
he's
so dope.
Like,
he's living, dude.
Head into he is. He stacks it up, comes out, does what he needs to do riding wise, like having fun, doing his thing. And then if he gets a job, I mean, he's like the way I was like, oh, I have this idea and I want to make a little thing come to life. He's like, oh, I can make an entire place.
Yes.
Like,
he's just like, yes, I can do that. Let's go.
They're like full on UCI courses, you know, like full blown, like crazy things. You know, another crazy part about, you know, since a bunch of the guys that come to Pat's house ride all these contests, there was a course in, I think, Adelaide. I might have that wrong. And Pat and Jason would talk about this Adelaide course. I'm just going to keep saying it, even if it's wrong. And then the other guys come over and they see Jason. They say, and because Jason built that course, they go, dude, Jason, you need to build another Adelaide course. And I was like, dang, everybody's looking at Jason as like the ramp guy. Like he built something that people, that riders want to ride. Like,
yeah, from across halfway across the world, and they know what's up. That's fire.
Yeah. And so that was just like really cool. Like, I don't know. I just wish him the best with like doing that stuff and like keeping it going. And like to even reach out to me, like to come out and do it. Like, I was like super psyched because I wondered what was going to go on with the work they were doing, thinking like there'd be a full on video. And I've done one of them and it felt like I kind of had my opportunity and that was it. And I was like, man, I wish I could do another one. And in this case, it was so much more like relaxed because it was just like, let's build these things and have some fun on them. And the other people joined in, and like, I never got to work with them either. So I got to, well, I did work with Bryce Tryon like many years ago when he was real small, maybe like 10 years old. He was like the first Colt juvenile rider. So there's like, if you went on the Vimeo page, I bet you could find him in Lodi riding like a few skate parks, a video I filmed in like 2012, maybe.
Like, yeah, and then a so decade later, ago. Here we are. That's so rad.
And he's killing it. Like, I was like, some of his clips are like my favorite, where he's just doing this long line and it starts with like a front flip bar. And, you know, I'm not a front flip bar kind of like guy. Yeah. Like, yeah, man, do you think you can get that front flip bar? But like, they're just doing it like pop, pop, pop. And I'm like seeing them ride the way I would see Dak or somebody ride like a street spot. Just like, this is what they do. This is how they're about it. The way they're talking to each other, the way they're interacting, the way they're encouraging each other. Dubby on the 720. It's two truck drivers in one. It's not a 720 double barsman. It's a truck driver
truck,
to truck
late truck.
Dude, it was so cool. And because he was like falling doing it, that like by the time he got it, there's like a genuine like cheer. And I hope this doesn't sound like disrespectful, but in like a lot of videos that I feel like they might be in, I don't feel like you get to see people react. Like, I feel like you see like the clip and maybe you see a slow motion thing of it, but like, my style, especially with the Colt stuff, was like when somebody did something and somebody was cheering, I went over to them and it added a little extra. I felt like that was in this video too, where everybody was hyped and the other, but as he did battle for it, it was pretty crazy. Like,
that's so dope.
So,
Man, I
but
love
yeah.
that. I wish I could watch them ride in person. That's so nuts.
Dude, it was pretty wild, definitely.
I want to know about your outside of BMX work, Beach. What's been going on? What's your tell me how work's going. How are you getting jobs, and how are the jobs going?
Well, I feel like I need to learn how to get jobs better. I need to learn how to like put my proposals together or understand value better. My time slash the value I can give to a client. So I used to work at Fullerton Bikes, which I literally live like pretty close to now. So since I'm back in the area, I pop in there every once in a while. And that was Mike Franzi, who owns the shop. He was like the first person who really like put me on to filming, because when he saw me mess around with some BMX stuff, he was like, "Oh, we should get a camera and a computer, and you can make videos for the bike shop." And that led to me doing everything else, right? So to come back over there, and he pretty much tries to get me to do a video a month for him. It seems like we're at that rate. I shot some mountain biking stuff today, and now I'm flying my drone a bunch, which is like helping get like some really cool shots. Again, I have a gimbal that I still haven't used, and I don't even know where the charger is for the battery. So I gotta figure this out, because I was running today with the thing like up this hill over these like roots, like it was like bop 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 bop, and I was like, I really hope I can smooth cam this, because this is not I what am I doing? But like as soon as the I'm using the drone like a gimbal right now. I'm
Oh,
flying
nice.
it at like
Low
level
enough to where it looks like a gimbal.
through trees and stuff. Dude, I almost crashed it like 3 times today out of like just being stupid. Like I was reversing it and went, oh, and I forgot there were trees behind me, and it like stops right in front of a tree. And then there's the dude, it's yeah, it's
That's
but I got some cool shots.
dope.
And I've been messing with it a bunch, and like it's been super fun. But like one of the things that I can't really figure out for like doing this kind of work is like think if I was just going to be a drone pilot, right? So hey, I need a drone pilot. Okay, that's going to be $500 for a day rate. Okay, cool. I go out, I fly the drone, I give them the footage, they go, okay, that's cool. But then if they want the video that's maybe got a whole direction to it, a few days to it, then they want it edited, and then I'm like, oh, it's going to be X amount of money. It kind of that kind of goes, nah, where I'm like, this is so much more work. And but like, yeah, if I had this one little thing I did, you could understand paying for that. But you don't seem to un people don't seem to understand paying for other things. That's why I have to, I just have to, that's why I'm trying to go in with the YouTube thing and work harder on like showing it as almost showing the BMX stuff, but also showing it as a production company and like putting more like behind the scenes kind of stuff in there. And that's why like doing the BMX event and showing that is just breaking me like breaking the wall down of me going from like, oh, I make this kind of video to, okay, I can show more of a behind the scenes video and I can put myself in front of it. So hopefully people will want to tune in and follow along with me on things. And then maybe that will turn into more jobs. You
Hell
know,
yeah.
Dakota rides for that brand Salty, and we just did some like real stuff,
Sick.
and they paid me for that, and that turned out really well, and I'm hoping that door leads to some more projects. And then like my dad is in this like Beatles cover band that they're really good, and they went in the studio and they did like a full recording, and so I filmed them do that, and I've been breaking down like each song into like things for them to use on social. But the thing I'm going to make for myself to put on my channel is I filmed them the whole recording thing. So when they're like working the song out and they're like messing around on the piano, working out, they're singing together and like all this stuff, I'm trying to make it feel like more of like a Beatles documentary than just like, here's the
Sick.
performance of the song
That's
in the
awesome.
studio.
I love
So
that.
those are like some of the things that I've been doing. It's kind of hard for me to remember some of the other jobs and stuff, but the stuff for Vans is work too that I've been doing, like Dax song and those kinds of things. So
Yeah, I love that.
all that stuff's kind of led me to this point where I don't really have something other than like the mountain bike stuff or the bike shop, and that's where it felt like the right time to do this BMX event. Oh, and to be honest, one other thing that I was really hoping could happen in this me going like to the freelance world is that when Colt needs me for something, that I could be there to do it. Yep. And we're going to Colorado right after the BMX event.
Hell
right
yeah.
Right before the Fast and Loose premiere. So we're filming a trip with Corey and a bunch of other people. And so I get to do kind of just what I was doing, where we're filming, I edit the video up, I put it out like relatively quickly, like, so it's like kind of like, here's the trip, here's the video. And I think that's going to be a pretty awesome trip.
Fuck
and
yeah. Like, good for you, dude. You know, life is good, right? You know,
it's not bad. Like with the BMX event, I started getting some purpose and some motivation, and it made me like kind of see something to work towards. And that kind of like even made other things in my life easier. Like, I don't know, I just got some motivation going on, and I want to just keep it up. And then with, you know, some of that comes from just trying to stay on my diet of like, you know, not eating tons of sugar and carbs and getting my body right and getting my mind right. Yeah. Because if I overdo it in some places, I just go into a slump, and then I don't even like, I couldn't even take on doing this event.
Yeah.
So right now I'm like, oh, I have no choice. And even when I do want to like have something that I probably shouldn't have, I kind of just go, dude, you got to build a ramp tomorrow. It's going to suck.
You don't want to feel like shit tomorrow.
You're not only going to build a ramp, you got to film yourself, build a ramp, and you got to go home and turn around and make the video. It's like a lot on top of each other. And so it's kept me like focused. And,
yeah.
And with the response I'm getting back, it's telling me that I can like, I can make this thing that I've had in my head actually kind of happen. And I, at one point I wasn't sure. But I do realize that it's in this day and age, it's probably harder than ever, to do this, because like, you know, it's not a YouTube boom. It's social media is kind of played, like it's just, but that's why the event is such a big deal, because you have to get out in front of people and do something like,
yeah.
And, like, and show,
people are so
show
hungry for in-person events right now. Like, that's what's lacking. Because we have all the shit that you could ever ask for on the internet. But, like, in-person events are more rare. And so, I don't know, local video contests. Like, Zach Bearley just put one on. That was so rad. Like, I'm trying to get him to do one for the summer. What else? Like, jams, you know. Like, the BMX event. Go to that.
Did you go to the kink thing?
Yeah, I went and met up with the boys. That's so rad that they went around and just had sessions with everybody. I love that.
That's what I'm saying. Like
by the time I left, my face hurt so bad from smiling, just seeing everybody, you know, like the whole scene came to it, and it was so rad. Like shit, giving everybody hugs and seeing Nathan again and meeting Santi was so rad. And I had talked to Casey over the internet. So seeing him in person and watching him ride was unbelievable.
Dude, I bet. Yeah.
And some locals that came out of the woodwork that like haven't ridden in 15 years and were trying the craziest shit. Like there was a kicker on top of the wedge, and this dude just like, I know him from like going to Glendale when I was 16 years old, but I can't really, whatever. And he's out there, he hasn't ridden in a decade, and he's out there sending a 180 from the top of the wedge off of a kicker to flat and like eating shit. It was amazing.
That's what's kind of cool. No, I'm hoping that same kind of vibe comes through for the BMX event and anybody else who's like putting anything on it and going out and doing stuff. Because I mean, like the internet is great, and that's a great tool to like get the word out and this and that, but like the actual interaction, I'm very excited to see who shows up. And like, I don't know, I think the response feels like people are wanting to go to have a good time. And I think it's going to happen. Like,
it's going
to
be rad,
I think the ramps are going to be good, and that's going to be fun. But I also think that there's going to be a good like camaraderie between everybody. And I'm super excited about
it. Picture worst case scenario, your van catches on fire and all the ramps are gone. The event is still going to be great. You know,
bro,
like,
what?
No, fuck on wood. Chill out.
Yeah. The wood that's burning in my van.
I'm just saying if everything goes to shit, it's still going to be great. You got nothing to worry about.
We'll
pull it together, but... He said, "Whoa, man, don't jinx me. This is wood. You're good."
All right. Nah, it'll be good. Man, why'd you say that? Nah.
Whoa, man. You took something that was just an idea in your brain, and now it's gonna come to reality. That's really cool. I think a lot of people like don't make that happen, and because that's how everything starts. You know, like the cell phone was just an idea in somebody's head, or anything. And
it's not revolutionary. It's not revolutionary, but at the same time, the thing I felt like I was up against is like why would I do the event? Like, and then it really was just like, let's get it together, or like, how could I do it? And then I went with the crowdfunding. And then, I mean, I rolled that into, yes, an awareness for the Yawn stuff and like growing that stuff. But like, that's just because I want to do positive things. If that can grow, it'll let me do more positive things for BMX and other stuff. So
what kind of thoughts were you having when it started? Like, were you reluctant? Like, who am I to do this type shit or what?
Well, no, it's just made it just easier. Like, if I was still like working at Colt, it would be like, oh, Colt, let's throw a jam. But right. When you're just like a guy, you're like,
oh, you're just a guy.
Jam. Like, and I could have gone to him and been like, oh, let's do the jam. But then I feel like I was like, why don't I figure this stuff out? Mm-hmm. And instead of like putting it on somebody else, I'll figure out how to get the ball rolling. And then if I need help, I can ask for help. And I got right away, people came to me and were like, yeah, let's help. And in my head, I was like already wanting to make it a tour. Like, again, I had the one idea that I have to execute, but I'm already thinking like way beyond it. And so, yeah, I'm pretty happy with like how things are like kind of playing out. So
fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how much more I could talk about the BMX event.
I think we beat it up.
Yeah, I mean, now it's kind of one of these things where you just like start begging people to subscribe to your YouTube channel and following you on Instagram and watching the videos lead up to it. So the other thing that I do think is going to be cool about it is that I'm going to take pieces from all the videos and put them into the recap so that it has a taste and the trail all the way to the recap video.
That's right.
And try and get that going. And then the other piece of it was like, you know, I don't know how you make stuff work financially in this world, but I'm like, can I make a Patreon happen? Can I like, and I can't even make videos consistently for myself. How could I ask somebody to pay me for stuff?
Yeah.
So by like doing this behind the scenes thing makes me think, well, maybe there's people that would be down for a Patreon.
Right.
And if I succeed in this, it's proof of concept that I could do it. So that just lets me put my effort more into Yawn stuff and using Yawn Media and that production kind of company thing come to life. And, you know, the goal is to kind of put more awareness of that out there and do what I call, I don't even know if this anybody calls it this, but I call 360 production, where I can film something, edit it, make the music, and even do graphics if needed. So I can essentially, it feels like it would work my way into like commercials for people, maybe not like on TV, but like campaign style,
right? Yeah.
Instagram stuff, right? And so I'm like kind of trying to work my way towards that, where hopefully I can get something that maybe outside BMX company has a nice little check they can give me.
Yep.
And then I get to do a month's worth of work and then take a couple weeks off to be heavy into BMX and kind of pull a Watts style. Like,
yeah,
do the work, boom, 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 boom.
That's definitely the dream with video production. I've been thinking about that, of just like doing one video per month, but charging 15 grand for it, you know, like, and there's people out there doing that, you know, like
that's
you
why
have
I'm like
all the talent to do it. Like, there's people way less talented than you that are out there making 20 grand per video. You know,
it's not to me the talent that somebody might have, but how do they get those things to happen?
How do they get those clients?
There's things that I have to learn to kind of figure that out. But
one of the steps you mentioned earlier, that somebody was like not down to pay for extra services but they were okay with paying $500 for a drone. You just got to keep walking past those people, you know, like that. Those aren't, they aren't it, you know?
Well, that's the thing. But like when you don't have income,
you got to take what you can get. Yeah.
You do, but then I'm drowned with the things that have more work than and less profit. And then now I have nothing going on for Yawn. Like the thing I'm trying to help build it out of. So then DoorDash comes into place, because what DoorDash does is it doesn't burn me out. And if I got to go on a trip with Colt for a week, I don't have a job. Like,
right.
I can turn that off. And, you know, so that's like a cool thing to have, to just earn some money. I don't love it. It's not great. I would love it if I was finding spots. So far, I found like no spots. Like, if I was like finding spots left and right, then it would be like, all right, let's go out on the weekend and go film some stuff. But that's not happening. And like, it's just like, by the end of the day, I sat in a car for 8 hours. And I'm like, what is this? Like,
how much can you make in 8 hours? 100?
No, you should make more than that. Because the first time I did it, I made over $100 in 6 hours.
Nice. Okay.
And I just had a bad, I had a bad day on the day that I went out on the video. Like, and I thought I was going to make more than $100 easily. To be like, I had a genuine reaction at the end of the video when I was over $100 by 53 cents because it said $80 and I didn't understand how the app updates the thing. I thought it was like in real time when you get it or something. And then it was like, all right, you're done. And I'm like, sure, didn't do it. And it was $153. But I did do it. Okay. But like the last time I made like $130 in 6 hours. And, you know, it depends on people's tips. And then it depends on how frequent your orders are. And then they, it depends on like, if you get, so I started, the reason, if you do it at night, I feel like you get more orders between people who are hungry for dinner slash maybe having a couple of drinks, maybe smoking some substances, you know, things like that go on. Yeah. And you, and now you're starting to pick up milkshakes and things at night. You're like, okay, I see what's going on here. and then you, you get these double ones and like, I don't know, some people tip better than others. And then depending if like how far they are and then like the dollar amounts you get, like I watched some videos on it and people are like, yeah, the dollar amount needs to double the mileage you're going to be driving. But then the DoorDash does this thing where it says it's going to give you less, like less good like DoorDashes if you don't, if you keep ignoring the ones that are kind of bad. Because, and so it keeps telling me my rating's going down and I'm new to it. So I'm like, all right, I'll just start taking every one so I can get my rating up. And then, so then I'm not making as much money. And then the one that I did during the day, I hit the lunch rush and then it just stalled out. And then the dinner came back. But then like you have like only a certain amount of time you can like work unless it's like really busy, then they'll like keep you on. But like by 8 o'clock at night, it just was like, there's no more work to do. And I was already burnt out that day and I was just like done with it. So I haven't had to hit it since then because I've just been on the thing. But like, it's like, the reason I wanted to do it is so I didn't burn myself out on making videos because I was making videos for somebody else and not making my own videos. But now I have a different approach to how I'm making the videos. And
how so? You know,
not needing it to be 100% good. The first videos I'm making are not great. I'm just filming what's going on with the BMX event. I'm doing whatever, like, whatever's going on. I do like the one that I just made with Dak, and I decided since I'm not monetized, like I'm just going to use a banger song. And so I just was like, I'll throw this Nirvana song on there and like,
fuck yeah,
let's just go for it. And once it is monetized, I'll switch it up. But like, it's like, what's the point at this point if it doesn't hurt my channel? Like, let's make a better, let's get a better song underneath it than like me making something for it. Like,
yeah. And that feels more fun. You get to edit to a Nirvana song.
Yeah. And exactly. And I'm hoping that that hooks people in a little bit more and like keeps them watching. But at the same time, hopefully by the time I'm done with it, I've learned to edit faster. I've learned to let go of mistakes, or I like know what to do, so I'm not making the same mistakes again.
Right.
I'm getting away with like covering up my mistakes by putting those, text cards in between. It's like really helping me just be like, okay, I don't know what to do here. Okay, I'll make this into a joke, like, or I'll ask a question and now we could resolve. So now you know what's going on with the screen. Like, because we were measuring a thing on a slant. We were measuring a slant on a slant instead of flat. Like, I don't know, those kinds of things. You want to know something funny? You want to know something funny about the DoorDash video?
Yeah.
Half of it's fake. So the day I went out DoorDashing, all the stuff that's pointing at me and anything I have where I have like real, like, a food in my hand, like the, I don't know, the Chick-fil-A or whatever it is I had, is real. And then when I was editing the video, I was like looking for I was looking for more of like a sound effect online, like, and I was typing in like racing the clock, and then the song came in that was like, gotta beat the clock, gotta beat the clock, or whatever it says. And I was like, man, if I had footage of me like hustling, this would be like kind of funny. So I just put the sweatshirt back on and grabbed the orange bag and then went out and drove up to restaurants, went inside. People would say hello and I'd walk right back out of the restaurant and get back in the van. And then, so anything with the orange bag in my hand is just from a different day.
Amazing.
And I just went back and I put my, I filmed everything with a GoPro. I put the GoPro on a tripod and stuck it by the wheel of the car. And I was like driving and like pulling in and getting all these shots, set the tripod up, running out. I wasn't doing that. I realized I could do that, but the day I was actually DoorDashing, I did not have the energy, like the motivation. I was like so concerned about door dashing and like updating the camera on what was going on. I didn't think about like setting up a shot of getting in and getting out because I just want to get to the house, drop the food off and get to the next place. So I literally drove around a little neighborhood and would park, get out of the car, get back in the car, drive to a different part of the neighborhood, park, get out of the car, get back in the car. There's all these shots of me running to someone's driveway and then running back to the house and I never dropped off food. It's all just fake door dashing. So
that's next level, dude. You went back and fucking did it.
Hopefully I didn't ruin it for anyone. Well, I almost had nothing to edit. If I didn't have all that stuff in there, that video would be pretty boring. Like that, I don't know. I thought like it just clicked in my head and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go do this. So
see, even when you're trying to take a break from making videos and do your work as a DoorDash, you're still making videos about it. You know, it never ends. Videos.
I wouldn't have made the DoorDash video if I didn't want to like show an incentive.
Promote the BMX event.
And even show that like, all right, let's do whatever it takes. Like, again, I do the DoorDashing to pay my bills, but like this time I was like, all right, I'll donate my earnings to the BMX event. And, I don't know. It was just, I felt like it was a cool way to like show that even I'm trying to raise money besides just asking people to do it, you know?
So. Dude, I love it. I'm watching it right now as we're speaking, dude. So if you guys aren't following Yon Media on YouTube, you go subscribe, you freaking nerds. I've had people like reach out to me. I stopped calling everybody nerds on this podcast. Like I stopped that intro. And then I've had like 5 kids reach out to me from Europe and all over the country saying, what's up? I'm a BMX nerd. And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. All right. I'll keep calling you guys nerds. It's awesome.
At least you got like a little thing going that came like naturally.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty
came
tight.
Together. Dude. And I don't know on that. This is episode 70, which is like,
really?
I just had a whoa. It's almost I haven't even done the math with how many it's been with for a dig, but it's going and still going. Yeah.
70 from the original.
Yeah. 70 from when I very first started. Yeah. With Brian Chadwick, cool. The first episode. Wow. I forget how many I had when Dig hit me up, but it wasn't 70. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This shit's a trip.
When Dig got involved, did it help you kind of stay focused on?
Yeah. Fuck like, yeah. It like gave me validation basically, you know, like,
yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Like, oh, okay. This is real, you know. It's like I started doing it again on my own, and that felt really cool. And I think Daryl was the first one where I brought it back because it had been. Like,
I remember listening to that one. Yeah. Like I tuned in like right away when I saw that was up.
Yeah, and we were talking a bunch when I brought it back, and then we did one together when I brought it back. And I don't know. When Dig came on, it was just like all kinds of momentum. And then there was 3 in a row where it was like Dakota, Rat Boy and Edwin at 3 in a row, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? This is so cool. Like I get to talk to my heroes. So it's
you know what I really like was the Corey one. Like Corey
I fucking
Walsh
love Corey.
That to me, I was like, I thought that was a really good one. I mean, obviously he's a good friend of mine, but like I don't know. I felt like that was a really cool.
I love talking to him, dude. I had never really had a talk with him like that long, you know?
Yeah.
So
dang, dude. Well, you know, I always have it in the back of my head to do one, but I have zero done. But
podcast, fuck yeah. I want to go on somebody else's podcast. I feel like soon.
Well, you'll have to come on mine at some point because, like, I have to do it because I think that like it's just like another way to keep something positive for BMX going on. And I mean, I'd love to have kind of a different angle in that way, like. All these podcasts that are out have a little different something when you're tuning into them. And I would love to talk more and
do it
into some of the video nerd stuff. I mean, I want to say that's going to happen after this BMX event, because like I'm proving to myself that I could do it and I could be consistent. I could figure it out. Yeah. And so seeing somebody like you get on it and do it and like, kind of like, that's just encouraging. So I definitely think I need to, I'm going to wait till the event's over, but at the same time it feels like I need something to be doing something with Yon after the event, and it seems like it's something I can work into like keeping going, you know, as well as other things, but like
You know? Yeah, like for a brand, I think a podcast is a good idea. Like even if it's not every week or like super often, but like the Yawn podcast would be just something really cool to have established. And who knows, you know, it could blow up. And then, I don't know, you get clients, you find that $15,000 client and then you bring them on the podcast and do outside, whatever. I'm not telling you how to
I'm listening to people on a podcast. It's called the 505 podcast. And these people go on like tours with DJs and those things lead to other jobs, but they're like really like, they're talking like they're in the world I want to be in, where they get to travel and do documentary kind of work. It's like a mix of like documentation, like for like a YouTube thing, and you know, making sure there's like social stuff and all this stuff going on. But when they talk about that work, they're like literally talking about the kind of work that I want to be doing, where it's for a brand or an artist or a musician or something, and you're like helping highlight their highlights. Like
I can totally see you doing that in the music industry, dude. Like when you were talking about it earlier and talking about the 360 production, or just like how you're gonna do documentary style coverage of your BMX event, like that immediately I was just like, oh, he should be on the road with like DJs, like you know, that there's big money in cover. And actually I don't know firsthand if there is big money there, but like
traveling with the right people.
Yeah.
There is with the right people. And you know, one of the guys is talking about how like that led him to working with like on an NBA photo shoot, and like they were all tripping on how he got to work with him. And his story, the other guy's story, was that like in college he was just filming the parties, and then that some of the DJs got bigger, and then they have, you know, like A&Rs and people like that going like, oh, come work with us, like can you just do this thing? And then the one dude said he thought he was going on a one-day shoot, and then the guy got back to him. He's like, yeah, so it'll probably be like 3 months. Like, you heard of that? And he's like, what? We're going on tour? And like, so yeah, like you never really know. But
like, it's all about who you know, or it, like all the work that I got when I was freelance all came from just like working with one person, and that person introduced me to another person, and who introduced me to another and another and another. Like, I never had to go market myself or like go, you know, create an ad online or some shit. But
yeah, and I'm hoping that I don't have to do that either. So
yeah,
the mountain bike video thing that I'm working on for the bike shop, the owner Mike, his son Brent, who I've worked with before, who's like really good at like, it's kind of like the gravel bike stuff, where it's like mountain and road kind of mixed together. Well, Giant Bicycles kind of like has him like flowed, so he's, you know, he got a bike for free, he got a bike through them, he's like kind of representing them, but like he's not like on a team kind of thing. But what they wanted to do was have me make this video for the bike shop that in turn would go through Giant's like
boom
Instagram and stuff like that. And so the hope is that like if I do well on this, that there could be a door opening there, or there could be a door opening with a different bike company. And there's a few different bike companies that if I could get into that like road mountain kind of world where it's like taking my BMX experience and kind of doing that similar kind of thing, but they got bigger budgets and they got like other things going on that like I didn't really ever see going out to do. But when it's like, when I watch some of the videos and see some of the things on like a brand like Envy or like Giant or whatever, I'm like, oh, this looks like it'd be fun to do. I can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
And if I can then do that, and then when I get that money, come back over into the BMX world and enhance something about it, like that's pretty much the goal. So
I think we're all rooting for you, dude. That's fire.
Well,
and awesome. The fact that you can do 360 production is such a cool part that like for big corporations, they want clear music, and you're like, oh, by the way, I scored this, you know, I scored this documentary, like this 10-minute really well done documentary. It's fire, dude.
Go ahead. All right. I'll go. Then you go. So, what I was telling that dude Brent today that I was working with, I was like, I don't understand how people like really do make money. Cause I had a really good time filming today, and I was just like, I wish money didn't matter. Cause then I just wake up tomorrow and I would do this again. And we try to go get these shots. And like, it's funny. Cause on this video that I did with him, I scouted these areas that like I'm like, oh, I could fly the drone here and we could get this bridge shot underneath this bridge and we could do all this stuff. And it's like finding spots. Like, I
Yeah.
was like, all right, this is cool. Like, we do all this. And I was like, man, I'm having such a good time. I was like, you know what I should do? I should make a video of me trying to hire production companies to do what I think I could do and be like, yeah, how much is that going to be?
Yes,
Okay. Blah,
dude.
blah, blah,
Make
days.
that.
Okay.
Holy
And
shit.
then, I call up and go, hey, I need a custom song. Okay. What's that going to be? Okay. That's going to be this. And then get this number that's 10 or 15 grand and go,
Yes.
I could do this for seven or like whatever it really is worth and be like, why can't I get that job? Like, and it's
For
just, I'm
real.
just figuring that stuff out. Like,
Yeah.
you know,
That's a big hurdle to get over is like the valuing yourself and figuring out what to cost or what to charge or what the value
But
is for the
at the same time, even
customer.
if I were to say like, oh, that's my value, and I went to like a BMX brand, I understand how that works, and that isn't like fair to them in a way. Like it doesn't really make sense in that regard.
Yeah, for
So
BMX, it's a different thing.
I'm not trying to even a smaller company that isn't like a somebody who's like a catering truck or like something, you know, like.
Yeah,
But like
a small mom and pop business.
I am trying to get into the specialized or giant or GT or somebody who's like got something like that going on where they're gonna be spending that to get that. Well, I
Right.
could be the guy who gets it to you, and I'm gonna do my best to take your vision of what you need and what I think is effective and make it as quality as I can and as quickly as I can. And if I can make a custom song, hopefully that has impact. Like even today, we were on this trail and there's like all these roots, and he's like riding up the hill and he's like, go, 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 go. And I did the thing where I was saying I ran with the camera and I was like, man, I hope this smooth cams out. And when I
Yeah.
got done, we looked at the shot. It was like, it was all right. I was like, I just make the song really aggressive right there. I'll go like, and
Yes.
he was like, all right. So that's how I make it work is just go like, okay, I need it to go weird here. It's going to go weird here.
It's gonna
Like,
go weird
you
here.
know, so.
Yep, I love that.
Yeah.
What I was gonna say is
So.
editing, like how are you open? I guess I could ask you this off the podcast, but are you open for editing work? Would you do outside of
Dude,
BMX editing work at this
it
point? You
depends.
have
It
so
depends
much
on.
on your plate, I'm sure you don't want to.
No, I mean, I'm open to outside of BMX editing work. I'm trying to expand into other things. It just kind of like depends. Like, there's certain things that kind of just drag me down, and then
Yeah,
like.
editing is a bitch too.
Or there's things that I feel like maybe I'm not that good at, like as far as like you know, certain styles of like especially like social media
Right.
content, like there's like a way that they're done that like you know, the thing that got me into editing to begin with was making the BMX video, and other people I feel like they see like, oh, this is how you make a cool social media video, and I
Right.
don't really know it like that, like
Yeah.
I don't really know how to put the hook first or like how to like do all these like retention things or like
Dude, I
do like that
remember
kind of
like
stuff.
when we first met, I don't know, 14 years ago, I like these social media videos with the big text that pops up didn't exist, and
Yeah.
it was a better world back then, dude. Now everything you scroll and it's just like big loud
Here,
words all over the screen.
but here's what I'm saying. That it's a, I'm sure it's effective and it works, but I feel like it's already changing.
Yeah,
So
people
like
are over
if
it
you
already.
it, that's so I feel like it's like yeah you go into the one thing and I'm maybe not that good at this thing with the big text and all this stuff and like putting emojis on the screen and making the
Yeah.
sound effects like I could do it but I kind of just would rather go DoorDash like in a way
Yeah, straight
unless
up.
I'm making a good amount of money
And
but
you're
like it
not. Like
doesn't
the people making those videos aren't charging that much for that, you know?
That's what I mean. That's why I want a bigger, like almost like campaign where, okay, part of it, I cut out the things, but there's like an overall, like a bigger theme to it or
Yeah.
something that has like direction. I guess overall, I want to get to a directing point where it's
Yes.
like, hey, we have this product and we're gonna do this. And then I go, okay, so what is your brand? What do you do? Okay. Oh, what's your values? And they go, oh, it's this and that. Okay. Well, how do we bring that up so that people aren't just not just looking at the product you're selling? They're going, I'm buying their product. That's a cool product and that's a cool brand. Let's
Yeah.
continue to work with that product. Like I love thinking like that. Like,
I love that
so
too.
that's why it's hard for me to just like go make something that's like whatever.
Yeah.
I'd rather go make spec commercials where like I'm gonna do this with Salty. Like I did a thing for them and that was fine. It was Dak talking, but like if you go on Salty's Instagram, they have the bottles of their drinks, and they'll have like fruit around them, and they have like a certain color scheme going on. And I'm like, how can I bring this to life? And then if I go look into Salty's mission statement and their and what it is they're about, you're already seeing the colors. You're seeing like, okay, well, can I slow motion some fruit around and like make it like come to life and do some studio shots and hang some strawberries from strings and like, you know, can we do this? That's what I want to put on Yon. And then I'll just give Salty the end product. Like, here, I made these things. And if they go, oh, why don't we work
That's
together
pretty
and
good.
Do something?
Yeah, do it again.
Let's do it. Or another brand sees my thing and goes, hey, we have a drink. Then I go, what's up? Let's go hang out.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And so that's kind of the concept after the BMX event. It's like now I'm getting Yon off the ground in the place that I probably should have in the beginning of the year when I started it. But I was just kind of like going through the motions of like, what am I doing? And eventually I realized that I need to really like kick it in gear. And I was like, let's do the BMX event. So
fuck yeah. Do you have an LLC for Yon? Yeah, wrap it all the way back to the beginning. Is Yon a LLC?
It's in progress because at the moment there wasn't anything going on with it, but now that there is, it's got to be done up correctly.
Yeah.
So,
dude, I hate that part of the business, you know, but it's part of it. You got to do it.
Well, luckily,
you got Dayana to help
you. It'll happen, but at one point it was like Dayana.
Dayana?
And oh man.
I fucked it up.
I just got a thing that says my internet connection's unstable.
Ah, you're all right. You're still here. We've gone long enough though. I think that's a good episode. I'm not even gonna ask you the cheesy podcast questions I ask.
All that kind of stuff.
You like it?
No, stop. We're not doing Mount Rushmore. We're not doing
That's what I said. We're not doing it. Okay, your internet is bad. You didn't hear me.
I know. That's what I said. We're not. Oh.
Oh, man.
Well, how are you so crispy? Like,
I got an A7S2.
DSLR filming?
A7S2 as the webcam.
That's plugged into your.
Yeah,
your computer?
Just straight plugged in with a mini USB to USB. And there's software that you download called Sony Imaging Edge Webcam.
Okay.
And turns it into a webcam. Like, and I don't have to change the battery ever. It like charges it at the same time that it uses it as a webcam. It's real nice. Like some people have to do like a dummy battery in it and bring the HDMI out with a Cam Link 4K and turn it into a proper webcam. But this Sony image, this, you know, whatever software is pretty fire. Like, it's nice.
And this mic is USB or it's running into like an interface?
Interface. I got the Scarlett.
Like a Scarlett or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I have an interface. So I could have had a like nice mic going.
Yeah. 100%.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Next time I'm going to be all crispy. It may even be crispier than yours.
Oh, shit. Out crispy me.
I'm playing.
But I got the special advantage of having Trip in the background, you know? He's my guy, and that's what makes it super crispy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm coordinated as fuck. Look at all these orange colors, dude. We got Burn Slow. We got my shirt. We got the little pink Himalayan salt lamp and the orange in the light. Dude, I'm crispy, man. I'm coordinated. shit. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it, everybody. Beesh, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Yes, sir.
I'm going to go to bed.
Goodbye, everybody. And I'm going to work on more stuff later.
Fuck yeah. Go work on more stuff. All right, nerds. Thanks for watching another episode of Canode Knows. Shout out Dig BMX, and I will see you next week.